the way and hits.
There's Jeff McNeil, and he gets whacked, and that one got him in a bad spot.
Yeah, spinning ball right at him. And he's trying to bunt, but he gets out of the way and hits him right on the top of the wrist.
And now Bader batting for McNeil, who got hit on the right wrist by a Brandon Williamson pitch in the fifth inning. Appeared to shake it off. It didn't look like it was bothering him once he got to first base, but who knows what happened from there.
Yeah, frustrated. This is, not how you want to, kind of end the season. End of the season hurt last year, too, as well, with my elbow. So, a little unfortunate. I want to be out there with the guys. This team's done so much, and you just wanted to help contribute. But got a good group of guys in there, who can do it. And just going to be, happy to be here and be part of it.
All right, we're back. Final thoughts. So Jeff McNeil's out for the year, at least until if the Mets make a deep run in the postseason. 4 to 6 weeks, you're looking at, second, third week of October. Maybe if they make the World Series, I don't even think the wild card of the division series, something along those lines. And then when you look at it, once you get an injury like this, you really can't do any hitting. You've got to ramp up. And I think McNeil's a pro hitter, and he's a guy that you can wake him up out of bed on Christmas Day in the middle of winter and say, could you give me 4 good ABs? And he probably would. But realistically, when you start to play at an enhanced level of competition, that's asking a lot from anybody. Now, the funny part is, this would have been a perfect opportunity for Brett Baty. And I wrote about this over at Beyond the Mic. Brett Baty is going to be one of the more fascinating, and it's funny because here you have, well, Mike, this is about Jeff McNeil. What about Brett Baty? Brett Baty is going to be one of the most fascinating case studies this offseason because you don't know what to think of him. Now, you have control of him. You don't want to just give him away because you're going to be giving him away at 50 cents on the dollar unless it's a big trade and he's part of that trade and that's the only way you can make that deal. But with the versatility, they were trying him out at second a little bit. With the bat doing better and playing a little bit better at AAA, at the very least, you would have thought, hey, Iglesias could use a blow. He's a veteran player. He's a guy that I think will get exposed to be more who he is, which is a little bit below league average hitter. Iglesias is a 280, 290, no power, good glove, old school second baseman. I'll call him like a line drive hitter. I want to say slap hitter because that's not really a term anybody uses anymore because nobody's really a slap hitter anymore. Let's face it. Maybe McNeil at times, versions of him, but nobody's a slap hitter anymore. That term can't exist in baseball in 2024. Probably it's inappropriate. You probably get suspended from X or something for saying that, right? So, anyway, it would have been interesting to see Baty get into the mix. And I believe, not DJ Stewart, but Baty would have been the choice if he was healthy. So he breaks his hand, McNeil breaks his hand, and I didn't like when that off-speed pitch hit his wrist and I saw it, I was surprised that he came back out. He turns a double play with a fractured wrist. Looks like it was very slightly fractured. It swelled up on him. And I didn't like it. I was glad when I saw him come back out. And then when they pulled him, I said, that's ominous. And sure enough, the news comes out Saturday afternoon that he's out for the year. So how harmful is this? This is very harmful for the Mets offense. And I know that people are going to say, well, see, look, they couldn't really score much yesterday on Saturday without McNeil. And now, same thing on Sunday. I'm not ready to say that the Mets offense is going to go into the tank because McNeil isn't there. To be fair, in the second half, McNeil's run creation is off the charts good. It's 157. It's top 20 in baseball. It's higher than Ohtani. That was one of the debates going around X. It's right up there. To also be fair, he wasn't hitting the last week, and the Mets were scoring some runs. He had a solid August, 852 OPS, 372 on base. He was starting to really work counts because McNeil historically throughout his career has been this enigma because he changes kind of the hitter. He's that Lance Johnson type swing of the first pitch hitter early on in his career. He's a Pete Rose slap hitter. He then turns into Daniel Murphy at different times and hits for power. That's the version we've seen in the second half. A lot of his damage power-wise happened right after the All-Star break in Miami against the Marlins. So let's also remember we're not, these numbers altogether look good, but when you parse them out, McNeil had his ebbs and flows even in the second half. However, his versatility, his defense, his ability to play both the outfield and the infield, and he's a good outfielder. These are things as you go into the offseason, and I know I'm the guy, I'm the dope that took the bait from a Mike Francesa who said the Mets should trade McNeil to the Yankees for a minor leaguer, just get him out of the blue and orange. He's miserable here. And I was actually starting to say, well, maybe it is time for Jeff McNeil to have a change of scenery. No. I've always been a McNeil fan. McNeil throughout his career, if you go back and you read projections of him on any minor league site from 2015 or whenever he was drafted, 2016, 2017, when he was drafted all the way to right before he broke out and was called up in 2018, most of the projections have him as a utility infielder. Joey Wendell, basically. And he played like Joey Wendell for the first 3.5 months of the season. Who would have thought Brett Beatty and McNeil, who were viewed largely as problems with the anemic Mets in May, the challenges that the Mets had in the month of May, how bad they were, even as, recently as July for McNeil, that the losses of both of these players to similar injuries would hurt so much? Because now you really can't go out and find anybody. Acuña is not going to play every day. I think when the minor league season ends, maybe they'll reconsider later in the minor league season when there's not really much runway left for him to play to bring him up. I don't see DJ Stewart anywhere near helping in the McNeil area against right-handed pitching. Now, last year he had that nice run. Maybe you get a nice run at a DJ Stewart. I know earlier in the year he had some big hits and some big home runs, so he can get hot and get streaky, but less excited about DJ Stewart than I would be about a healthy McNeil. Where do I see McNeil next year going forward? Well, I mean, that's a great question. I think it's going to be an interesting story for Port St. Lucie and for spring training if he's still here, which I anticipate he will be. I think it's, what did he do in the second half? Did he make adjustments to the way he approaches the game? I don't know, not so much his swing, because he was always hitting the ball hard. You kept hearing he was hitting the ball hard throughout the early part of the year when he wasn't hitting. But is he going to be more of a pull line drive Murphy type of hitter the rest of his career? Because you can see, even if there's some streakiness to that from the power perspective, that's a far more valuable hitter than the 340, 330, 325 singles hitter that slaps the ball all the way, that now without the shift might not have the same opportunity to slap the ball around. There's that word slap again that I said we shouldn't be using, but I can't think of another term in that way. This is a huge loss because he was making up for a lot of the offense that Nimmo has not been providing. Now, Nimmo had an unlucky weekend. He could have had easily a couple of home runs. I'm not sure today's home run was a fair ball, but I agree with Carlos Mendoza after the game. They need to extend that foul pole. I'm sure Cohen... Watch, that'll be the first thing Cohen does to the ballpark this offseason. Longer foul pole down the line. Period, end of story. You'll see that happen. No doubt about it. Unless there's a reason they can't do it from a safety standpoint. I can't see why, but you'll see a larger foul pole almost immediately. So Nimmo's really got to step up. And I think you got to see a better version of J.D. Davis. Pete Alonso seems to... I mean, I was very impressed with his single, his RBI single this weekend. I like the takes he took today. I said recency bias is part of this whole game here, whether it be voting for MVP or making money in free agency. I mean, Pete probably saw the Matt Chapman contract. Matt Chapman plays elite defense at a position that's valued more than first base. And what did he get? 6 years, $151 million? I mean, Pete's going to have to really step up here at the end to get himself into that pantheon of potentially getting a big deal. And I'm not going to talk about Pete and Pete's free agency. There's plenty of time for that, but they're going to need him to step up. So Lindor has been big for the Mets since Memorial Day. McNeil has been big for the Mets since the All-Star break. And on offense, you've had a smattering of Pete. You've had a smattering of Nimmo. You've had a smattering of JD Martinez. You, of course, have had the crazy performances of Iglesias, even from the power perspective, hitting some home runs earlier in the year against Colorado, and then the big home run in Washington and D.C. in extra innings. And, you've had a little bit of Marte here, a little bit of Bader there, Tyrone Taylor here. But ultimately, and then, of course, Vientos has been, really Vientos, and he wasn't here in the first month of the season. Vientos has been consistent since he was called back up in mid-May. Really has been. So I would say Vientos, at this point, with Vientos wading into the deep end of the pool, and he came up big on Friday night, and when Lindor plays every day, you know, inevitably a demanding position, you got to think that there's going to be a little bit of a valley, hopefully not too long. It's time for Pete to step up. It's time for Nimmo to step up. And it's time for JD Martinez to step up. Look, that's what a team and winning baseball is all about. Putting away the whole talk about vibes and energy in 2015 and pitching and walks and bullpen. It's now time. McNeil's out. It's a big loss, especially against right-handed pitching. It's time for those other guys. You know, I don't know how you overcome that. Remember, McNeil wasn't hitting when they were playing outstanding in June. Nimmo's got to take the role. And luckily they have Iglesias, and it goes back to what I said in the open. The scrap heap, which I wrote about this over at Beyond the Mic, the Substack newsletter. The scrap heap, which we like to talk about because that's the kind of stuff you talk about in December and January, because it's fun, because it's the off season, it's the hot stove. But you very rarely think any of these guys will fit best case scenario. I don't even remember if I wrote about Iglesias this signing. I probably did. I'd have to go back and look. But guys like Danny Young, I remember specifically when he was signed. Like, okay, there's a guy that if he's on the roster, it's for a doubleheader. It's for an injury for a couple of weeks. He's an optionable arm. He's a guy that's just there to fill innings when they're behind or whatever. And here he is. He's got a whiff rate at the level of a Garrett Crochet. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy what the scrap heap has produced. Iglesias has played every bit the impactful middle infielder that he was in his early days when he came up with Boston and Detroit, when he was the starting shortstop. You know, that's just amazing to me. It really is. So the Mets are hurt, and it is a blow. It is a thunderbolt, no doubt about it. And the Mets have had a few of those this year. But it's not a thunderbolt I don't think they can overcome. Would you have preferred it to happen a month ago? Because, yeah, you'd have him before the end of the year. Of course you would. But, you know, you don't have choices in when thunderbolts hit and what have you. But I think in the end, McNeil has, I don't want to say saved his career here in a Mets uniform, but he's shown you that even in another version of him offensively that doesn't hit 330, that doesn't hit 320, that doesn't spray the ball all over the field. Let's use the word spray instead of slap, right? He could be a valuable offensive player. If he has an 850 OPS but only hits 245, 250, but is a doubles machine, pops more home runs, and I would love to see him work counts and get more walks because that's always a positive to put you into hitters' counts, then I think that version could be pretty good. And I think he's not going to be MVP, Daniel Murphy. I mean, from your mouth to the baseball god's ears, if he could put together a 2016 or 2017 like Murph did. But he could be maybe like the 2015 Murphy. I've always said that. And that is a really good version of a baseball player. I mean, Murphy was he went crazy in the postseason, but he was a solid offensive piece during the regular season, even before he turned himself into Babe Ruth in October. So, you know, to me, it's really a thunderbolt. It's one that they should be able to overcome. But I think the real shame of it all is that Brett Baty doesn't get a chance to show us what he could do. Because you're going into the offseason with Baty, not really knowing what you have. And this would have been a chance to get a little bit more clarity in a pennant race against big pitching, against big teams, to see how improved he's on the offensive side. He definitely improved on the defensive side. We saw that before he was sent down, but not on the offensive side. Now, if he could work on his offense this offseason like he worked on his defense and then blend it together, geez. Remember when we talked about the perfect third baseman being Baty and Vientos, Vientos' power, Baty's defense? Well, now you already have... Vientos has made improvements. He's still not a guy that I think late in games I'd want to have the ball hit to him. I think there's obviously better options, but I think he's very passable at third. And maybe he could still have an opportunity to improve. He showed that with his work with Lindor this offseason. So Anyway, that's my feelings on the the McNeil injury. A thunderbolt, a hit, hurts against right-handed pitching. The guys are just going to have to step up around him. You know, they've survived in the past with McNeil not hitting. They had a great June with McNeil not hitting. Some of his power was in spurts after the All-Star break. He's been really good, but let's face it, this year he moved himself into a core offensive player like he was in the second half, but he hasn't even really been a component player all year, and the Mets have been able to survive without him, and they're going to have to survive without him now. You think the Braves are going to feel bad without Acuna, without Albies, without Riley, that the Mets lost McNeil? That's the equivalent of the Mets losing Lindor, Pete, and maybe Nimmo. Let's face it. I would take the trade-off, but I love McNeil. And I am bullish on the rest of the McNeil contract. I'm bullish on him, and I like the fact that not only has versatility, that his game is evolving, and I have a ton of faith that here's a guy that's always shown confidence that he could hit from the minute he stepped onto a big league field. I still remember after the first offseason when Mike Francesa interviewed him, and he's like, oh, I could hit. Like, he just said it in a way when Francesa questions, hey, you weren't really much of a prospect. You burst onto the scene in the minor leagues this year. You came up to the big leagues in August and really had a good second half. And McNeil, he goes, oh, I always do, I can hit. Like, that's the kind of confidence. I wonder if he lost a little bit of that over the last couple of years with his struggles, especially since his first down year in 21 that he rebounded on. Maybe he's found something this year that he could rebound and have a similar 25 like he had 22 if it win a batting title or really have a comeback and what have you. So anyway, off to the road trip. Mets have a big series in Toronto, big series in Philadelphia. We'll be with you covering it at Beyond the Mic, the Substack newsletter, of course, here weekly at the Talking Mets podcast. If really appreciate you all tuning in today on this Sunday. Of course, you could check me out all the time at the TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You get me on X, Talking Mets No G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG. And of course, like I said, don't forget the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks on the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast next week. Till then, take care, everybody.